And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good evening, Sweet World, and welcome to No Dunks Live from the Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It's No Dunks here to recap All-Star Saturday night. I'm J.E. Skeets. We got TK. We got Tass. We've got you. Hit the like button, subscribe as we break this down. 3 hours flew by, eh, Tassie?
It's a little chilly up here as well. I wish there was some oil around me to make me a little warmer.
Yeah, so look, we got a lot to talk about.
I don't know why I'm complaining about that. It was all right. It was long.
It was long, but it
was a couple tiebreakers.
Some fun.
Star-studded,
fun events.
Man. Star-studded
it was
events.
A good night. It was a very good night.
Let's start with the end and work backwards, okay? Mac over Shaq to go back-to-back.
Bars.
Thank you. Yeah, not a bad dunk contest. I don't think it's going to be remembered as one of the greatest of all time, but clean dunk contest, not a lot of missed dunks.
Entertaining.
Maybe some goosing of some scores for the one all-star in Jaylen Brown, but setting up Jaylen versus Mac McClung in the finals. What'd you think overall?
Shout out to all my teachers out there grading on a curve.
There
Am I right? You know, I feel like we had two curves in effect tonight. We had the Jaylen Brown, you're an all-star, you're in the dunk contest, so maybe you're getting your score goosed a little bit curve. Yep. We also had the Mac McClung. We saw you do incredible things last year. Can you do it again? Can you top what you did last year curve? So I felt like the scoring was harder for him in that respect as well. Not a shock that they both made it to the finals. And Mac brought it with his last dunk, jumping over Shaq, just like Jaime Jaquez Jr. did with his first dunk. An entertaining night. And I think for me, the most memorable one is going to be Jaylen Brown's left-hand dunk. That was hilarious.
You think so?
Absolutely.
With
I mean,
the glove.
Very funny. Was that your favorite dunk, or will that be the one that most people remember from this?
I didn't think Jaylen Brown should have made it through to the second round, but I'm glad he did because he pulled out the glove. It felt a little like Michael Jackson.
Well, they played Michael Jackson in here, too.
Yeah, because everybody has always said Jaylen Brown can't go left. He can't dribble left. So he pulls out the left glove and dunks it that way. I'm not sure if NBA players are going to start wearing gloves when they play because that ball must have been stuck.
Like wide
to
receivers.
His hand.
Yeah,
exactly.
Stick him on that. Yeah.
There's no way he could miss that dunk.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown performed tonight, so that was fun. Yeah. He also, when he did the Dominique in the first round, probably helped. Dominique was sitting right there.
Sure.
Sitting there judging him. I loved, I was going to call Jacob Toppin Obi Toppin again because he pulled out an Obi Toppin dunk
bet. He did.
Obi did. 2 years ago, it was awesome that I thought in the first round probably should have got him to the second round, but the best dunker won. Mac McClung won.
Yes.
He's again.
Clearly
yes.
the
yes.
best dunker yeah. of the four.
So are you going to remember the glove or are you going to remember the McClung?
Here's the thing. I think for me, the most memorable dunk when we're like going back and making lists and stuff, more often will come up the Jaylen Brown left hand glove dunk. The best dunk for me, like the coolest dunk for me, was Mac dropping the ball in the air. His very first dunk of the contest.
That was very
What are
very
we
going to
call
cool.
that? Look Ma, no hands or something like that? Because I'm with you. I think that's the one that was the coolest dunk and the most unique dunk for sure.
The but oopsie think, baby?
Yeah,
the oopsie daisy?
There's something there.
The drop dunk?
Drop.
We'll brainstorm
drop
on that.
Drop it like it's hot. Nah, something. Something with drop.
They were dunking a white basketball, so it like looked like an egg. So I feel like there's something with an egg we could incorporate into naming it. But it was a cool
egg drop dunk.
Sure. Oh, man, it's a good
Doesn't
soup.
Make sense. Egg drop
it's
soup.
Delicious
yeah.
soup, though.
It is. But, yeah, overall, though, like, was there any other, like, you think, do you agree with Tass, like, that Jacob Toppin maybe got a little hosed, like, that he maybe should have been in the finals?
Jacob Toppin could have a beef, I would have to say. But, you know, he did do dunks that we've seen Obi Toppin do. He didn't necessarily innovate the way Mac did, which is what you're expecting when somebody's kind of known as a dunker. Jaylen Brown, like we're saying, he was bringing out dunks that I think would have scored very well in 2005 to 2009, like pretty solid dunks, you know, but the game has kind of grown since then. He's just on a different level, I think, right now. So, yeah, Jacob Toppin, I think, I would be happy inviting him back to see what else he can do. Because he's probably got some more stuff in the bag.
That's a good call. And I think what may have hurt him is that he jumped over somebody right after Jaime Jaquez jumped over Shaq. So that was an incredible dunk.
Yeah.
To jump over his brother. No touch.
No touch.
Jaime Jaquez did to Shaquille O'Neal. But you see two dunks in a row. It's just hard to score 50s these days. And there was only one.
I love that. Right until the end. I love that. Only 150.
You were convinced that when Jalen did the glove dunk, that you were like, they're going to give him a 50. They're going to give him a 50.
I think they gave him the highest score at the time of the night.
Yeah, close, if not the highest, yeah. And maybe deserving because it was funny.
It was funny. It was pretty funny, man. And dunking with a glove hand. We don't know how sticky that glove is. It could have been sequins on the inside for all we know.
That's true.
Should have seen the glove.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
But it was an incredible show in that there wasn't a lot of missed dunks.
Yes,
number
that's
one.
Huge.
Number two, I hate saying this because I don't want to complain about how long everything was because this was fun being in a football stadium, but it felt like a football game in terms of the length. But the dunkers made it quick.
Yeah.
So maybe we make everything a little shorter earlier.
Do you want to see Mac McClung try and go back to back to back? Because he was asked about it after and sort of gave the, like, definitely not the I'll be back to defend. It was more I'll think about it.
How about he can come back in a couple of years? We'll see what a completely fresh crop does next year.
Okay.
If they do anything that really wows us that says, hey, we need to bring back the ringer, the absolute pro. Can you actually beat this guy? Give him a couple of years to brainstorm more dunks.
Okay.
Let's brainstorm the line. I mean, the guy who went back-to-back is going to try and go Mac-to-Mac-to-Mac or something,
Yeah.
I mean, you know, something. But he should come back. He was awesome.
Did the LED court add, subtract, not really do much for you in terms of not just the dunk contest but all of the challenges tonight, competitions? Do you think it enhanced it?
I think there's a different experience for us here in the arena and people watching at home, because you look at some of the pictures that are floating around on the internet and it looks very much glowing skin for everybody. But here, I thought it was pretty cool to watch, and it looked awesome from a distance up here in section 333 at Lucas Oil. I don't know. There was times like when somebody would land a dunk and the floor would shatter or something like that. The little trails behind them. I liked when Jalen did his Dominique dunk and they showed like a bunch of Dominique pictures on the floor, that kind of stuff. There's certain enhancements for sure.
Yeah, and we saw the tribute to Terrence Clark. We saw, Jaquez Jr. with the Mexican heritage. Like, they incorporated that onto the floor, which was cool, fine. But it feels like the technology of this floor, this LED court, give it a couple more years. Because it's like, has that like tiny still lag?
What are they
going to
do
bit?
In a couple of years?
Well, everything's going to be a Spider-Man movie. That's all I kept thinking watching it. Man, imagine Spider-Man was doing these dunks.
I think my favorite floor moment of the night was when Jalen Brown did his D. Brown dunk and he landed and they turned the floor into the Boston Garden floor and people started booing the floor. They're like, how dare you change our floor to the Celtics floor?
Jalen Brown was the villain here tonight in the dunk contest, to the crowd at least, because he was sort of getting scores that I think people thought were too high. Then the Boston floor.
Yeah.
You got booed a couple times.
You don't change a team's floor in their own gym.
Disrespect, man.
Plus pulling out the D. Brown, covering his hands after he was landing.
The D. Brown dab at the end. Yeah, when
after
he
dunked.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Anyways, it was a good show. All in all, it was a good show.
Okay, if grade the dunk contest. You go back to that teacher metaphor. How would you grade it overall?
How about if I grade it like it's a dunk contest?
Okay, sure. That makes more sense.
Yeah. I would give it a 47.
Okay. High or low?
47.
Yeah.
I'm the math teacher, so I'm trying to do the math. I'm trying to give it an 8 point. That's 46.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think you guys are in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was not great.
It was good. Yeah. It was good.
All right. Let's move again. Going backwards, the Steph versus Sabrina, the 3-point shootout. Got Ernie Johnson out there on the court, try and build the hype. I thought it started strong with building the hype. Felt sort of like a heavyweight fight, you know, them coming out one at a time. Eventually a belt showed up that looked cheap as hell. But then they interviewed the both of them, and they're such like humble superstars. So there wasn't like a lot of smack talk going on. And it's sort of like we built to this point and then it sort of went back down. But then they started shooting and, they put on a show. I mean, they both tied or beat all the three-point shooters in the challenge before them. So Steph Curry actually was our three-point champion for both of them tonight.
That was by far the best event of the night.
Think so?
I don't even think it was close. Yeah. And it was exceeded expectations. Like you're saying, Sabrina hit as many as Dame Lillard hit to win the actual thing. And then Steph Curry came in and on his final rack showed, remember who's the best shooter in the history of basketball and still the best shooter currently playing? It's me. On a night where we've just seen how many racks of three-pointers, he comes in and wins it.
Right.
Only going through once. Come on, that was awesome. And seeing Sabrina actually step up, hitting their shots from the NBA line, it was incredible. When she made her first seven, the gym was electric.
Yeah, we were terrified coming into this that, like, oh, just one of them is not on tonight and just struggles. And then it's like, wah, wah, wah. And that wasn't a problem at all.
No.
In warm-ups, they barely missed. We were sitting here counting, like, the odd miss, but, like, almost, like, cash every time. So, yeah, 29 for Steph, 26 for Sabrina. What'd you think?
By far the most memorable moment.
The loudest the crowd got.
For sure. Yeah. And just as an event entirely. Just the most impactful, the most inspirational. Was fun. And, yeah, they came out as heavyweight boxers at the beginning. Yeah. But the fact is, like, this is unprecedented to have a WNBA star come in and shoot against Steph, the best shooter ever. And she puts up a number that would have won the NBA three-point contest tonight.
Yeah,
better than the finals numbers that the men put up tonight. And she's able to do it from the NBA three-point line. She hit her first seven shots.
Yeah.
And it's going to be impactful. This was a night that all NBA fans generally watch. And now they get to see a WNBA superstar. So people will be inspired to play basketball. Steph, a father of two daughters, you know, this meant something to him. And next year, I wondered if Steph lost, they definitely would have had a
run
rematch.
Run it back, yeah.
Because it's in San Francisco where Steph plays, done and done. I hope there's some sort of rematch, though.
Sure.
No matter what, it's got to happen in some way.
Caitlin Clark's coming.
Caitlin Clark is coming.
She's going to be in it. Next year.
That's
She's
a
massive, massive a star, point. So it'll be a matter of how they decide to work her.
How they do it, how
it
they
could
do
be
it.
All three of them for all I know. Who knows?
And then a lot of money going to charity, which was very cool, too, and then talking to them after. And Sabrina basically just came up with a new Nike slogan. If you can shoot, you can shoot.
Yeah, that was baller.
So
that,
there
that
you go.
Great.
Just you can print that, put that on awesome. T-shirts and sell that tomorrow. So, yeah, overall, incredibly lived up to the hype. Again, the pressure, I can't get over, like, the amount of pressure. Hey, come out here and put up a good score and both compete. Because, again, that could go so poorly. We see NBA guys in this contest, now not tonight, but previous years, Kevin Herter goes for 8. Michael Jordan struggled in the three-point contest. Like, it happens.
The sightlines are good here.
Yeah, I guess so.
The sightlines are great here. The numbers in the three-point contest were good all around. And think about it. Sabrina said, I'm going to shoot from the NBA line and made her first 7 shots.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
And it felt like she was going to win because Steph started a little slowly and then got hot himself. Yeah. Would you rather have them shoot at the same time in different halves?
No chance. No chance.
You like
the drama of coming down to the last rack?
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, watching it, I don't know, live, maybe it's different on television. It's almost tough to keep track while you're just watching one shooter. Imagine they're both going on opposite ends like they used to back in the day. Nah, I like it like this.
They don't need to screw
with that.
She was great.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
3-point contest. Pretty good showing by everyone. Like I said, we generally have one or two people that just lay an egg, like just can't hit a shot to save their lives. The worst score was 21.
I think Mitchell had 20 in the first round.
20, okay. Yeah. So low 20s.
Money Merrill. Yeah. Money Merrill, they're calling it. Actually. In that jersey, when they were warming up, it was during a commercial. He had the 5 on his throwback Cavs jersey with the name Money Merrill underneath it. I was literally looking at it like, I don't know who's in the 3-point contest tonight. Or is there just somebody out there warming up that's not in the 3-point contest? I was confused. But he's throwing it up for his man, Sam Merrill, who's having a great season on his team with the Money Merrill.
Yeah, it was Mitchell with 21 and Beasley had 20.
Okay,
the worst, 20. The worst scores. That's pretty impressive. But, yeah, we had a tiebreaker situation where we had 3 guys with 26. Mm-hmm. Halliburton.
4, right?
Four guys, excuse me. That's right. We had Trae Young. We had Halliburton. We had Karl-Anthony Towns. We had Damian Lillard. So the 4-way tie. Now, you had a great point, I thought, TK. You were like, why do the tiebreaker? Why don't you just advance them all to the final? Because they're actually making it longer by having them have to do the 30-second tiebreaker to then go to the final. So it's a weird decision. They should have just done that, but at least they still were competitive in the tiebreaker.
And the tiebreaker, yeah. There was some drama because, I mean, we couldn't see it from here. We obviously weren't watching the broadcast to see the crystal clear images, but Karl-Anthony Towns apparently kept stepping over the line.
Wow.
But if you're a referee, are you going to want to be staring into that LED court for 30 straight seconds?
Eyes. Yeah,
you
might
burn out your cones, buddy. Bad stuff, so not surprised they would miss a call. But yeah, I thought if they all 4 tie for the high score, just send them all into the next round. We're playing for first anyways.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who, how many go to play.
I 100% agree.
Could have been okay.
And is that why Damian Lillard, you know, kind of stuck it to the referees afterwards when he was interviewed after a little shot to the referees there. It was interesting because Karl-Anthony Towns had his money ball rack at the top, but he moved it for the tiebreaker
because
you
got to get to it.
Got to get to it faster.
Yeah, they almost all put it. Yeah, first or second, of course. Yeah.
He's one of the few guys to have a money ball rack right at the top.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't see that too often.
That's true. Wings or corners for most of these guys.
Yes.
Loves a trail 3. Makes sense.
I say this all the time, every year. Look, we've had it for a while now, so I guess I've gotten a little more used to it. I just don't love the deep ball, the starry range ball. And what I hate about it, it's not like, it's cool to see them hit a deeper shot, don't get me wrong, but like, it does ruin their flow at times, where somebody gets on a run, somebody gets on a heater, 5, 6, 7, and then they're like, now I gotta go back to another weirder shot with another weirder, probably ball that feels a little different. I just can't stand that. I don't know what it is about it.
They're 3-point shooters. They can take a couple steps back for a rip.
They didn't hit a ton. Like, no. Nobody hit, I don't think, maybe Karl-Anthony Towns once had a round where he hit both of them.
Both starries?
Yeah. But otherwise, nobody hit them both.
It does reduce the Craig Hodges potential.
Yeah, right.
Right, where somebody's going to make 15 straight or something.
That's my point. Though I guess Sabrina also.
She did it.
She did it. So yeah.
Yeah, last year.
When she did it last year. Yeah, that's true.
It's only 1 straight shot.
Any other thoughts on the 3-point contest? It's usually good.
It was good.
If not great. And it delivered.
Yeah, I did think it was a little bit like watching Ursula and the Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Go on.
That green glowing court. I preferred the blue court of the dunk contest to the glowing green starry court.
Yes, there's photos going around again. We were not watching the broadcast, but Lowry.
Well, I mean, but we saw it. You know, it was very green, and I thought the blue was a much more subtle, cool look.
Sure. Yeah. But Lowry Markkanen looking like the Incredible Hulk.
It was looking Hulkish.
Yeah. With the green bounce back on him.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. People who we have chats with were mad about the starry court.
And I think it's a different experience on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I was on the chats, because I wanted to know what everyone was doing online from home. And people are mad that people's faces were fluorescent. I get that.
This is why No Dunks is up here in the 300 level. We couldn't be on the floor. 3 white guys on a starry court. Just disaster waiting to happen. So that's why we're up here.
Look like Martians.
Up in the bleachers, in case you were wondering. Any other final thoughts on 3-point contests? No.
Yeah, it's fun to look at guys who've repeated in the past because it's just fun.
Rare. That's right. Well, we fact check us out there, but yeah, I think the last guy to repeat, now that Dame has done it, was Jason Capono.
Yes.
Who, like Dame, switched teams. So that's the secret to going back-to-back in the three-point contest.
Keep it fresh.
Have a fresh jersey on. Obviously, Dame with Portland and now Milwaukee, and then Capono with Raptors and Heat, I guess. And
yeah.
I'm not sure which order it was, but
no idea.
He definitely did it with two different teams.
Yeah.
I did like Dame missing a ton on his last rack so that he actually had to make the very last ball. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he even said I wanted to build the drama there. He missed four in a row.
I didn't know how many I needed to make, but I heard everybody going,
just hit that last one, and he was good.
Pay attention to the crowd.
So Dame goes back-to-back.
Yeah, and good back-to-back interviews, too, for Dame. Last year was in Utah by his school, Weber State.
Right.
This time, he just gave a shot to the referees. I don't care
so
where
funny.
I'm stepping. I don't care, as they talked about, whether or not they should take back a three-point shot where he toes the line or whatever. Because it happened to Carl.
Yes.
It happened to Carl tonight. He stepped on one.
Well, you want to talk about controversy. Let's talk about the skills challenge.
Nice
the
segue. Skills That's con- a segue.
It's tainted.
That's
I can't
long.
Wait to read the last two-minute report tomorrow on All-Star Saturday night because that Mathurin pass in that four has to be a bounce pass, and he just whipped it in there, and they counted it, and that was like the one that sort of advanced them there.
Yeah.
So,
we're heading back to the hotel. We're grinding tape.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to break it down frame by frame.
So many numbers.
We're going to count every pass that goes into every single basket.
I'm convinced that's the most stressful job of All-Star Weekend. Anything where you have to count, like these people, whoever the intern is at the NBA that has to count these things.
Yeah. That would be terrible, man. It would be terrible. Then they have to go back and check it. They're like, we tied twice, and we have two buzzer beaters. Do they count? I'm telling you, the first Halliburton one in the first round of passing, I feel like that one was late as well.
They
gave it to him anyways.
I know.
Home cooking.
Yep. Yeah, Team Pacers coming through in the end, but it's rigged. Frozen envelope, frozen starry balls, I don't know, whatever they are.
Yeah, I'm into math because I've been looking at those numbers forever for the last 3 hours in the skills challenge, in the passing. They kind of just... They just scrap the rules, really. You just go wherever you want and just do stuff.
Look, I'll say
they give you points. And it should have gone to the All-Stars. The game should have gone to the All-Stars tonight because of that pass.
Yeah.
That's how the tiebreaker was broken. It should have been the All-Stars who won.
Or what were you going to say?
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
Something about math and the tiebreakers.
This was an awesome skills challenge.
I knew you were going to say that. You're not
wrong. No, okay. Here's what I was going to say. I remembered. I love the Pacers. They cracked it. They cracked, the code to this using analytics. They said, we're not throwing it in the long two.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the long two is a terrible shot.
It's a dumb shot.
Dumb pass as well. The other ones are worth way more, and guess what? They're closer.
Yeah.
Why would you ever throw in the two? See, doesn't make sense. That's how they goose their numbers.
Yeah.
Got 94 to equal the 94 from Team All-Stars. So I thought
that
was pretty smart.
If you had to give credit, and maybe they've talked about this in a post-game press conference, I'm not sure, who came up, who cracked it? Halliburton?
You know,
Turner,
it was Halliburton.
Or Mathurin. Okay.
It was Halliburton.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Mathurin pass shouldn't have been.
No, I know.
I know. And they put it up as a replay. Huge mistake here in Lucas Oil Field. When you're watching a game and something happens to your team that shouldn't have happened, or something like awesome, a guy drops somebody when he on a crossover. They never put it in as a replay. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have put that as a replay because that helped me do the math.
Well, there was
Thank you.
A bunch of other weird things in the skills challenge. It was Anthony Edwards trying to shoot left-handed.
Yeah, he said he was going to play the entire All-Star game left-handed, and I think he'll be reconsidering after tonight.
Yeah. He did it earlier today.
He hit the side of the glass from the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Twice.
We also had Scotty Barnes and Tyrese Maxey botching the relay.
Oh,
Both of them. I mean, Scotty just lost the ball. Tyrese Maxey just went the wrong way.
I don't care.
Confused. He just took off, man. Yeah. He was just running all the way outside of it rather than weaving.
But I liked it. I liked that. Scotty fell one time as well. He went the wrong way around a pylon. But to me, it all means that Scotty is ready to be a number one guy. His effort in the rest of the skills challenge proved to me that he is ready to be a number one guy. I was inspired at And I'm totally biased homer right now.
I want to get an official ruling on, are you allowed to grab two balls when you go up to grab these balls?
Scotty does.
I know. And
Scotty
then everybody started doing it.
Yeah, that was smart.
I was is that legal?
That was some of the best floor usage, I thought, because you could see the previous team's final score and it would track along with their players. So you could see when Scotty Barnes fell down. the team all-star tracker would just stop there by that for a while. When it was Maxie, it would go forward, and it would have to come all the way back, stop for a little bit, then weave through. That was
it's
pretty
nice.
It's
sort of like Mario Kart, where you're taking on the ghost.
The ghost track,
and you're
exactly.
trying to battle it for your time trials. I did like that, too. That was like maybe the best use of the LED court.
The skills challenge, I thought, kind of was reminiscent of a video game, the way they use the court and the way you're like trying to pile up numbers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. And you had a referee twice, because it was Bankero and Scotty Barnes who went the wrong way. She came through and said, hey, go back this way. They were confused. The LED wasn't a pat. I don't know why they're confused.
How do you feel about them deciding that in a tiebreaker with the half-court shot, which they struggled with? Ooh, both teams struggled with. Yeah, I know that feels like hours ago, because it was. Do we like that? Should they do something else? Like, they should play 3-on-3. Like, have a quick
or
game.
Have the midcourt.
To one?
To three. Or something. Something easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I do like the idea of half-court shots, but it kind of just proves to me that half-court shots are harder than we anticipate. And Chris Bosh, that's why he's such a legend, man. That guy never missed a half-court shot.
And it's clear.
It's not as easy as you would think.
No. Yeah, they were trying to rush it, and they were just missing over and over and over again. We did a G League game a few weeks ago. We called the Skyhawks game. You hit a half-court shot faster than these gentlemen.
I hit a couple.
Not to toot your horn. But what that proves is that the mid-court shot is better than the skills challenge. Not that we got to go back there, but it is. Watching the mid-court shot and how we've done it over here for years, mm-hmm. the shooting stars, it's better.
You want that. Okay.
That's all faster, right. too. Not that the... You know what I mean? Like the skills challenge. Like every year we're here and I say, what are the rules? We didn't know that there's three parts of it.
Oh, man.
Well,
that's
again.
Not me.
I know.
Every year the skills challenge, the relay part finishes. I was like, oh, that was awesome, man. Yeah, that was great.
What
like,
a great
there's
thing.
There's two more
two
rounds.
Two more stages and a tiebreaker.
Yeah. I think they should play 3-on-3 or run it again, but... I guess it's fun if somebody hits the half-court shot within the first 10 seconds, then maybe everybody goes, oh, but they were taking forever. And they had two different strategies. Was it the All-Stars? They were chucking like crazy.
They were just going
pandemonium style, which I think was like would screw with you a little bit. Like everybody all shooting at the same time. Pacers a little more methodical with it. Your turn, my turn, your turn. And then obviously they beat them by 20 seconds.
So, we shouldn't have had that tiebreaker because the All-Stars should have won at the beginning. Then it would have been over.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Skills challenge. I'll always remember the skills challenge. the home team has won three years straight.
Since they basically cheat, there's no rules. Man.
Exactly, the home cooking.
All right. Well, we'll call it there. That is a quick recap for you guys of All Star Saturday night. Jerome is showing us. Just throw it up to the camera, Jerome.
have a look. Here's Jerome's phone.
As we called it already, they got the they got the Nike slogan there for Sabrina. It took an hour. Good for them. Oh, now you have to wonder, did she have it banked?
I think that one was easy to make.
Okay, why? She had already said it?
No, I'm just saying it's one sentence on a picture of her shooting. I think that's an easy meme to create.
No, I meant more. Did she come with the line canned?
Great question, man. No, they're pros, bro.
I can't sleep tonight.
Since you're on Nike, their Instagram there, where can I get a Ionescu shoe? Because she made me buy them this weekend.
Okay, you're in.
Everybody else, she's got hers with her green and gold on them, same colors as my high school. Mm-hmm. Hers say quack. Mine are going to say caw because mine were the Hawks, not the Ducks, says her Oregon. Anyways, but they're cool shoes. Yeah. Everybody's buying them.
People are fans of them for sure.
Jerome wears them.
All right, we'll call it there. Free little plug for Nike. Ever heard of that company, Nike? Thanks for joining us, though, guys. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Let's hear in the comments, best contest of the night. What do you think of the dunk contest? Did anybody get hosed? Should they bring back shooting stars?
Yes.
And all the controversies surrounding the three-point contest and the skills challenge. Let us know in the comments. Enjoy the game on Sunday night. We'll be back next week at some point. Are we doing this again tomorrow night?
Possibly.
Oh, Tess.
Maybe.
Let's see what
maybe, but also maybe not.
Hey, that's why you subscribe, so you find out if we're going live. But thanks for joining us, and embrace the day, people. You could stay. Every day, and I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long, but you're the one.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.